Talk with Maria Bailey. Join Maria as she takes on topics important to you. From the cradle to college, Maria and her expert guests offer information, tips, and tools to make the busy lives of families easier. Now, here's your host, Maria Bailey.
So, the 4th of July is behind us, and I guess what we're looking forward to as moms is back to school. Isn't this this is actually the day that the back to school ads start. So, if you haven't even enjoyed a summer vacation yet, don't worry, moms. Now you get to prepare for back to school season. Time to buy those crayons and markers, and all of the stores will certainly remind us that it is time to do so. But if you are still enjoying the summer, as I am, I want to thank you for taking a little bit of your summer time and devoting it to listening to Mom Talk Radio. We've got a fantastic show lined up for you today, and we're going to talk about some fun things, everything from food to parenting to ways to help our children. A lot of good stuff coming your way on Mom Talk Radio. Don't forget that you can also follow us online at Mom Talk Radio on Twitter or our Facebook page, and you never know what I'm going to post. I actually have just gotten back from Africa, 2 weeks in Uganda, and just a really amazing time where I've learned so much about how America is just an awesome place, because I got to tell you some of the things that I saw in Uganda. Do you know that the average mother has 6.5 children and 54% of those babies die before they are 2 years old? 54%. How sad is that? The clean water, access to health care, women just literally don't have a way to get from their village to the health center. And I've been working on a project that helps provide transportation for those women. I did get to take a little bit of time and do something, cross something off my bucket list. That was trekking with the gorillas along the border of Rwanda, and an amazing experience. If you ever have the opportunity to go trekking into the jungle and see the gorillas in the wild, I felt like Jane Goodall or something. But it was unbelievable. And 19 gorillas in the woods with me, and they were everywhere. The little babies like crawl up the tree, and they don't realize how heavy they are. The whole tree falls over, and it was truly amazing. Before we get going with the show, I want to make sure that we thank our sponsor, Pre-Mama. It's the company that brought you the drinkable prenatal vitamin. It's now introducing two pill-free solutions that are formulated for complete maternity wellness. Coming soon to CVS pharmacies everywhere is the new Pre-Mama fertility and Pre-Mama lactation formulas that will be found in the baby and feminine care aisles at CVS stores. So check it out. They've been good to Mom Talk Radio, and I'd like to be good to them. And before we break, let me just tell you about Mom TV, the place that you need to go online to when you want to see what we're doing here on Mom Talk Radio. We have videos for and by moms, everything that you can think of, all the subject matter that relates to a mom, everything for how to feed your child to product reviews. We have hundreds and thousands of mom bloggers who have reviewed products there. So if you're thinking about a stroller, go to Mom TV. If you're thinking, oh my gosh, I don't know how to prepare for back to school season, go to Mom TV. We are the place, your video destination online, where you can find and watch information that is relevant to you as a mom. It's a great place, and we hope you'll join us on momtv.com. When we return, we're going to be talking with Lauren Book. She is the founder and CEO of an organization that helps moms fight child sexual abuse.
Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio.
So we are welcoming to Mom Talk Radio Lauren Book. She is the founder of Lauren's Kids, and she was a victim of childhood sexual abuse for over 6 years at the hand of her female nanny. And she has taken that experience, turned it around to help other moms. She's the author of the memoir It's Okay to Tell and the children's books Lauren's Kingdom. And we are happy to have her with us today because she has really embraced this cause and has a lot of important messages to share with us. So welcome, Lauren, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
So recently, you were the focus of a Newsweek cover story that said nearly all children who are sexually abused know their abusers. That just seems so surprising to me and just really doesn't go along with what we think about sexual predators.
Absolutely. We know that 90% of the time, children are abused by someone they know, love, and trust, and that's somebody who is in your children's lives right now. And we know that 1 in 3 girls and 1 in 5 boys will become the victim of child sexual abuse before the age of 18. We also know that individuals with developmental delays and disabilities are at a significantly greater risk of becoming a victim of child sexual abuse. Actually, 90% of individuals with a developmental delay or disability will be sexually abused at some point in time in their life, and only 1 to 3% of those cases will ever be brought to light. And so it's really important that we talk about the statistics and know what's out there and know that it's individuals who are in children's lives every single day who are likely to harm them. And they do that by the grooming process and building a trusting relationship, not just with your children, but with you as a mom and as a dad and as parents to those children. What happened in my own case.
So I hate to ask this question, but I think that maybe you could also help define, there's sexual abuse can be a long or a very broad definition too. And not that any part of that is any less impactful, but, I know parents who are like, yeah, maybe they just touched inappropriately one time. It's a gamut, right?
It is a gamut, and there are non-touching offenses. There are different types of abuse that goes on, and it is no less traumatic. Children are resilient, and it is dependent upon how we as caregivers to those children take care of them after they come forward with abuse. Whether they're believed, whether they get help if they're feeling traumatized is really important to help them heal. But yes, there is an entire gamut of types of abuse, and none are and depending upon the child depends on the severity of the trauma. Somebody would say, well, they showed videos to my child. It wasn't actually a touching abuse. That can be fairly traumatic to a child. And so it's still really important as parents that we have those conversations and really pay attention to our children and allow them to guide us in sort of down that path of healing.
And so what does a parent watch for?
There are lots of different signs for abuse, and it ranges depending how old your children are. We actually have a wonderful tool, don'tmissthesigns.org, that has all of this, and so nobody has to write it down right now, and they can check that out. But in young children, you're dealing with, the failure to thrive. If there's, blood in their diaper, if they startle easily. If you have children who are a little bit older and who've been completely potty trained and now are having accidents or night terrors or are really engaging in really regressive behaviors, those are signs that something is not quite right and that as a parent you should look into it. Always notice how your children interact with other adults or individuals who come into their life and how they interact. For older children, unexplained money, gifts, those are all signs, again, that something is not quite right. And as a parent, you start asking those questions. And it shouldn't, we should have these conversations at a very, very early age. People always ask, when do I start talking to my children about this? And it starts as young as you play that game where you're pointing out you know, I'm pointing at my nose right now and you can't see it, but you point to your nose and you ask them what that is and they say their nose or their ear or their eye. We never give children proper names for their private parts. And in doing so, they inherently know something is not quite right about those parts. We're not supposed to talk about them. And predators use our fear as parents to talk to our children to their advantage.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I understand that you walk across the state of Florida once a year, which is 1,500 miles. Why do you do that?
We do. We just finished, actually. And it's all about that education and awareness piece of things. We know that 95% of sexual abuse is preventable with education and awareness. And so it's all about walking to spread the message that it's okay to tell. We have survivors from all over the state come out to talk about these issues. We're creating a movement here in the state of Florida to make things different for other people and making sure that we pass laws to help protect children. And so the walk is a very, very difficult challenge. It's 42 days. We walk 30 miles every day in 95 plus degree heat. But we've really created a culture shift here in the state of Florida and just actually had an opportunity to grow our walk and did a mini walk in the Bronx in New York. And so we're really beginning to look at these issues. I think for a long time, people have been afraid to look at the issue of childhood sexual abuse. And I see that changing. We still have a long way to go, but it's all about bringing about that awareness because predators and offenders thrive in those dark places where people have been afraid to look. And I'm so glad that people are talking about these things to keep their children safe.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. You have a website, laurenskid.org, and we have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio. Thank you so much for all the work you do in this area because it's a very, very important issue and one that a lot of times we don't know how to handle. So thank you very much, Lauren. When we return, we're going to turn the spotlight on one mom who's doing some whimsical things that you might want to hear about. I'm excited to have with us today Joanne. She is the founder of awhimsicallife.com. She's the mother of two children, 6 and 2, so she's very busy. And you can find her on Twitter at whimsicaljoanne. Today, we're going to talk about something I saw on her blog, and that is her series on dollar store days of summer. And I'm very excited because I know that everyone has bored children right now. So welcome, Joanne, to Mom Talk Radio.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I am excited to have you here with us. So we're in the middle of summer. 4th of July is beyond us. We are going to be looking at back to school pretty soon, but it's normally about the time that we are just in dire straits to keep our kids entertained. And you have actually 10 kid activities that use only supplies from the dollar store. And I love that idea. So tell me a little bit about that.
So I love finding ways to keep my kids occupied that don't cost me a lot of money. So when I saw these ideas circulating on Facebook about like kids activities you can do during the summer, I'm like, well, we can easily find some supplies at the dollar store to do these activities with and make them easy. So everyone loves pool noodles, and we see them everywhere. And sometimes I don't know what to do with pool noodles other than just float around in my pool. So we created an outdoor obstacle course with them where I just gave my kids some pool noodles. I showed them how they can make little, like, tubes and how they can make hoops and things that they can crawl under by sticking some plastic knives in the grass and putting the pool noodle over it. And they created their own obstacle course. And they created their pool noodle sprinkler at the end where they sprayed each other. And it was just a fun time where they could be creative. And I could kind of sit back and watch my kids have fun without me, but still being there to supervise. And then another idea. Oh, thank you. another idea we have is there's pudding and food at the dollar store. So we buy those pudding snack cups. And we, today on the blog, well, last week on the blog, we had edible pudding paint, where you just color it with food coloring and kids can paint away.
No way. That is such a good idea. That's so what do they paint on with the pudding? Like paper?
I take a cookie sheet and I cover it with aluminum foil and they just paint right on that.
Oh my gosh. That is so I take it. This is like an outdoor activity too, because you could actually like just let them be outside and just paint on themselves.
That is a great idea. I should try that next time I make the pudding paint.
I remember one day, like, I was totally desperate. And you know how, like, when your kids are really small, they just, like, love to, like, the feel of Cheerios and cereals mm-hmm. and stuff. And so I went to the dollar store. I let them just in their little diapers. I took off all their clothes and everything. And I literally filled up one of those little plastic pools with like mm-hmm. six boxes of, you know, cheap cereal. And they sat it and they just like played and put them in their mouth. And like, I didn't care because if they put it in their mouth, because it was just Cheerios and cereal. Right. Mm. And they just loved the feel of like the cereal crunching under them. I know it sounds disgusting, but you know, you get desperate sometimes, right?
It sounds genius, honestly. Like, I think my 2-year-old son would love that.
So, do your 6 and 2-year-old play together?
They play really well together. Sometimes it's hit or miss, but mm-hmm. Lately, like, my 6-year-old is the boss of the activities, and my 2-year-old son, he just idolizes her, and he follows her around and copies what she does. And I mean, just yesterday, they pulled all the pillows off the couch and created their own cushion, like swimming pool, and they're jumping off the couch into the cushion pool.
Oh, that's cool. That's fun. Good for them.
Yeah.
Okay, so we only have a little less than 2 minutes. Can you tell everybody about your upcoming series in September?
Sure. We, a lot of times as moms, we don't find the time to really pursue our own goals and our dreams, because every time it seems to be mostly about the kids. So in September, I am doing a series where I'm going to help moms pursue their dreams. So every day, I'm going to guide people through giving them another tip on how to set goals, on how to reach those goals, on how to manage time for those goals, and how to find the help to pursue those own goals. So hopefully at the end of the 30 days, moms will have this set plan that they can pursue to reach whatever they've been wanting to do, whether it's write a book or start a blog or maybe lose weight, just giving them the tools to do that.
Well, that is awesome. That's awesome. And we just earlier talked about the dream that I just accomplished, and that was to go trekking to see the gorillas in the mountains of Uganda. So September is about dreams on awhimsicallife.com. Check it out, because Joanne is very creative, very knowledgeable, and we are so happy she was here today. And we have a link to her blog on Mom Talk Radio. When we return, we've got another brilliant mom. It's Gabrielle Blair.
Helping you succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
Like, you know when you lose touch with a friend, like, you don't really lose touch now with social media, but like, you haven't talked to them in a long time. Well, I am so excited to have with us our next guest, who has just authored the most beautiful book. You're going to want to get this book. She's just a beautiful person, beautiful book. Gabrielle Blair. She is known online as Design Mom. She founded way back before any of us started blogging, designmom.com. She is the founder of many different things, including Alt Summit. She has 6 children. I had to ask her, like, do you still only have 6? Because every time I saw her, she was pregnant. And now she's given birth to this beautiful book that she's here to talk to us about. So welcome, Gabrielle, to Mom Talk Radio, my home here on radio.
Thank you so much, Maria. It's really a delight to be here.
Well, okay. So you have always been that person, like, no matter if you're pregnant or you're living abroad or whatever, you always kind of like peek in on Gabrielle to see like what kind of style and what's going on in your life. You just created this book that is absolutely beautiful, and it's a room by room guide to kids. Where did you come up with the concept for it?
Well, that's a great question. For me, it's a funny thing because people will assume I'm an interior designer. I'm not,
right.
Because I do want to talk about homes a lot, but I'm not actually. I'm a graphic designer by profession, or before I blogged, I guess. And so for me, when I approach interior design, I probably don't do it the same way an interior designer does it. For me, it's about problem solving, which is what I learned in design school. Was just design was problem solving. You have these challenges and then you solve them, and you use design to do that. And so when I'm putting together a house, that's really what I'm doing. I'm trying to solve the problems. If I'm getting a big pile up of backpacks every day after school, then what can I do to make that pile go away, make that a more orderly situation?
Well, you certainly, I mean, I love the beds that are suspended from the wall in your kids' rooms. Who did the photography in this book? Because, I mean, it is beautiful.
Yeah, it's stunning. And it's not all just my house. So, for example, those beds are not in my house. I do need to send you a picture of our girls' bedroom that has four beds. It's fantastic. But anyway, these are homes from all over the world. And I've had the pleasure of interviewing hundreds of women over the course of having this blog and doing a weekly home tour. And the home tour isn't necessarily about the most stylish house, although they're all beautiful homes. It's really about discussing how a family lives, like how do they go about their day, and what are their sort of solutions for toy storage, and how do they help have the kids helping in the kitchen and that kind of stuff. And because of that, I have beautiful images from homes all over the world. So when it was time to do this book, I would reach out to women that I had interviewed and say, hey, can I send a photographer to your home and get some specific shots for this book? And it ended up being a really, really fun thing because they're truly, this truly represents homes across the world.
Yeah, well, they're really, really beautiful, beautiful pictures. And so who do you think who did you write this book for?
Well, I was writing that, you know, I had in mind a lot of my readers. What I was thinking is the people that email me and ask me, hey, how do you do this? How do you handle all the paperwork that comes into the house with schoolwork and mail and just the general sort of paperwork that comes to their lives? I'll get questions about that. And I was, you know, answering that kind of thing. And then some people will ask me, you know, we have a young son, a young daughter. We're wondering about them sharing a room. What are your thoughts on that? You know, and I'll write a blog post giving advice, or I'll send them an email giving advice. So when I was writing this book, that's really who I had in mind. These young parents, or I should say parents of young families, who are just trying to sort out the practicalities. How do you do this? You know, and there's really no guidebook, and there can't be a guidebook because every family is different. But I thought, well, I can write down what has worked for my family, and it changes. It changes every year. It changes even every few months. And so I wrote down, here's some of the solutions that have worked for us, in the hopes that they might help other families as well.
Yeah, well, I have to tell you, so one of the pages, one of my favorite pages is simplify your bedding, and the fact that you say 95% of a clean bedroom is a made bed, which I remember I learned that in Girl Scouts when I was like 10 years old. but you have an image of a crib that has very little bedding in it. And I'm just like, this is so brilliant, because I've thought it 100 times. You see new moms and they buy the bumpers and they buy all the bedding and everything, and you know that mm-hmm. none of that is necessary. And you
it's
actually
not necessary.
Say it.
True. It's true. And it ends up, it just looks messy a lot of the time. You know, you want it to be cute, like the catalog pictures. I totally get that. And I've wanted the same thing, but in reality, it's, you know, needs to be washed more often. You have time to wash it, and you know, the baby sort of stepping on it, it just doesn't look that cute. I'm thinking of like the bumper pads or the extra ruffles. So for me, simplifying it not only helps you as a parent, because who has time to maintain all these objects in the house, but it also looks better. It looks cleaner and simpler. And when you come in the room, instead of you know, sighing and thinking, oh, I really got to wash that bumper pad. There is no bumper pad to wash. You don't even have to think about it. It's right. not even there.
Okay. So, so tell me, we just have a few more minutes, the three rules for table manners that can be found at the Blair House. Tell me what those are.
Now I feel like I have to go look up the page. So I remember.
Okay. So I won't put you on the spot, but there are two with your mouth closed, say please and thank you, and don't reach for food. But how do you get your kids to actually do those three things?
Well, this is where, my husband's really the hero. He's so consistent about it. When we sit down at the table, it's not a lecture. It's just three simple things. So it's not a lot for us to have to cover over and over, you know, here's the 20 different things, use this particular fork or use this particular goblet. Obviously, they'll learn those more complex social rules if they need to as they're, you know, going to more formal occasions. Mm-hmm. But on just a daily basis, the simpler you can keep the rules, the easier it's going to be. So having something that's just like super straightforward, you can say it in a really succinct right. way, helps kids feel like they're not being lectured all the time.
Yeah.
I remember.
They're just three simple things. And I got to tell you, there's a dozen and a half simple things in this beautiful book called Design Mom, How to Live with Kids, a Room by Room Guide. And Gabrielle Stanley Blair is the author. You got to pick it up. We have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio. Gabrielle, congratulations. And we have got to get together soon to catch up. And thank you so much for coming on my show today. Well, congratulations. When we return, we're going to be talking to Christina Katz.
The number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
I am excited about the opportunity and the information that our next guest is going to bring to you. Her name is Christina Katz. She's a mother who resides out in Oregon, and she has trained thousands of writers over the past 14 years via her books and speeches and classes and columns and workshops and a whole lot of other different medias. And she's here to educate you on the opportunity of teaching online. So I want to welcome Christina to Mom Talk Radio. Hi, Christina.
Hi, Maria. Thanks so much for having me.
So tell me a little bit about what, you know, what you do to help moms or dads or other listeners teach online, and who should teach online?
Well, here's the thing is, there is just an explosion in online learning right now. And it's such a great opportunity for moms. And when I say moms, I mean either moms who have been at home for a long time, stay at home, you know, long time stay at home moms, work at home moms, moms who are just home for a short time, but who have a lot of expertise. And the reason is because once you build these courses, of course, they're permanent. They stay online. And there's a lot of flexibility there in the amount of time you can invest. So whether you have a little bit of time or a lot of time, you can really get a lot of mileage out of online learning, out of opportunities in online learning.
So what kind of qualifications do you have to actually teach an online course?
Well, it might be the best part. You don't need any qualifications. If you're teaching for a site like Udemy, they actually have created an awesome platform where you can get all the education you need about how to create the online courses. And then, of course, within the learning platform, there are a lot of courses on how to create courses. So you really don't need to bring any educational background, teaching background, or any kind of academic background to this process. It's just try to break it up in your mind. There was the MOOCs are different. The massive open online courses, that's more about distance learning for universities. That's not what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about more like Udemy, Skillshare, platforms like that, where really any expert, whether you're a newly established expert or a seasoned expert can teach.
Wow, that's amazing. And then how does video work into it? Is there video as well?
Okay, yes. This is probably the trickiest part for the educator, and that is deciding how video is going to work in your teaching process. And luckily, you know, again, it's just such great timing because they are always every day new kinds of software rolling out or updated versions of software that can help with this process. There's a few things you need to have just to get started with video courses. You know, a computer, a phone or a camera, an iPad could also work. You need to have a quality microphone and good lighting. But after that, you know, you can do the talking head kind of video where you sit in front of the camera with an attached mic, and that will work if you're comfortable with that. Or you could do screencasting, where basically the viewer is looking at what's on your screen while you talk in kind of a voiceover manner. And that would use something like, screencasting would use some kind of software like Camtasia or ScreenFlow. Uh-huh. And, you know, really all of this is incredibly affordable. So the pieces of equipment that you need and the software that you need, you can get, not including the computer, you can get it all for less than $500.
Wow, that's amazing.
And, yeah. Yeah.
So in the last few minutes that we have, what will our listeners find if they go to ChristinaKatz.com?
Well, if they go to ChristinaKatz.com, what they'll find is a mom who's been working, training moms to become more competent and confident communicators. I've been doing that for the past 14 years as a writing coach and platform expert. And I've also done some creativity coaching in that process. It's kind of evolved out of the other more practical skills that I teach. So what I'm doing right now is I have so many, and I'm sure a lot of professionals find themselves in this position, I have so much curricula that I've developed over the years, and it's really good, but I can't teach it all at once in traditional
Right.
I mean, I'd have to clone myself. I'm sure you run into that a lot, Maria.
Well,
right?
In the essence of time, I just want to make sure we get this in. You have a website where they can where our listeners can contact you. It's ChristinaKatz.com. We have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio, and a ton of resources there. So I really appreciate you joining us today on Mom Talk Radio, and hope everyone will follow up and check out the website where you can find Christina there. So when we return, we're going to be talking about some consumer safety issues happening nationwide, and you're going to want to stay tuned as we tell you a little bit about what's coming up on Mom Talk Radio for the next 20 years of our history here on radio and with you. I am very excited to have with us today Paul Axtell. He is a man who has a lot of talents. He has worked with many Fortune 100 or 500 companies and universities and nonprofit organizations. He is a proud father of two and has 13 grandchildren in his blended family. And he is very wise in conversations and things that we need to say to and with our children. So we're going to talk about kid talk today. Paul, welcome to Mom Talk Radio.
Well, thank you. I'm very pleased to be here.
So I, with all of your experience, conversations I know really matter. And I think that as parents, we forget how much they matter. Tell me a little bit of why you think that language and conversations matter to our children.
Great question. It started a long time ago when a participant in a workshop brought me a list of the 25 statements kids hear most from their parents. As you can imagine, the number one answer was no. And in fact, all 25 were negative, like, why can't you be like your older brother?
Mm-hmm.
And that prompted me to be aware of what I was saying to my kids, in particular, take the negative tone, negative statements out of it. And then if you start to watch, most of the research now says the ability to converse is more important to young children than knowing their ABCs or knowing their numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And that speaking with kids 4 to 5 hours a day is the most important thing they can do for their development. And I thought, wow, that just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so there are 10 powerful things to say to your children that you've outlined. The first is, I like you. Why I like you instead of I love you?
Oh, good question. It's not meant to be instead of. It's meant to be in addition to. So rather than either or, it's both and. And I just am assuming, well, I shouldn't assume that, but parents know that love is unconditional and it's important to say. I like you is a different conversation. I would like parents just to be aware they're different. I like you says, I like you as a person. I like spending time with you. I like doing things with you. I just like who you are. So it puts something different into the conversation between parents and kids, which is, you know, I like how you're turning out as a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I always like to say that when you say those things, you need to look into the whites of their eyes so they really know that you mean it. What about, we always ask our children to say thank you to us, but according to you, it's important for us to say thank you to them as well.
Well, I think that for me, this fits into the conversation that when do kids start thinking they're grown up? And I'm thinking that's like 8 or 9. If you pay attention, you notice kids make a big deal of how old they are. They're not 7, they're 7 and a half, or they're just about to be 8. And recently I heard a young man tell me that, well, I'm grown up now. And I said, well, how do you know? And he said, well, I have a double-digit birthday.
Wow.
So if we just take it, the kids start thinking they're grown up far below or sooner than we think,
mm-hmm.
we probably ought to shift our conversation to more of equals, more of friends.
Right.
And I think simple courtesies would be a part of that.
And then I love the fact that you ask the open-ended question of tell me more. We just have 2 minutes left, but can you tell me the importance of using those words to our children?
Well, we want to encourage their speaking, and that requires us listening. It also asks that we really delve into open-ended questions or encouraging questions. Kindergarten teachers will tell you which kids don't get listened to because they don't speak well. And so that means shifting our conversation from transactional, which we use to get through life, to, you know, I would love to hear about your day. If you would find me 4 or 5 things to tell me about your day, I would just appreciate that. And then when they pause, rather than taking over the conversation or asking a follow-up question, just say, hey, tell me more. I love this conversation. What else?
Right, right. Well, really great advice, and I know you have a ton more to say. And we're going to have a link to your website, paulaxtell.com, paulaxtell.com. That's where you'll find him and all of his great advice. And I want to thank all of you for spending a little bit of your July with us. And as we approach back to school, we're going to be talking about a lot of tips to get you ready. And then, of course, we've got the holidays right around the corner. We've got this, I think July to December is a very exciting time to be a mom. It's a little overwhelming, but we'll get through it together with a lot of great solutions here on Mom Talk Radio. I'm Maria Bailey, and I want to thank you for spending time with us. Remember, you can go to @MomTalkRadio on Twitter to find me throughout the week until we see you again, this time, this place, next week.